In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed and go home. Now, which is easier indeed? To us, it seems Jesus has it entirely backward. Which is easier for us? Just try telling a paralytic to get up out of his chair or off his bed and walk. See how well that goes. Even the most gifted surgeon with all the latest in medical technology, even for him, paralysis is usually incurable. But the words, your sins are forgiven, well, those just roll off your tongue. Those are little words, easily spoken, and the miracle is done. Well, let's be honest. It is hard, maybe even impossible, for sinners to forgive each other. The wife will stew in her work instead of forgiving her husband. So also the same, the husband would leave for work, or maybe for the garage or the shed, before he'll say to her, I forgive you. The co-worker is not forgiven, but instead is secretly resented. And this week especially, perhaps we speak harsh words, even curses, rather than forgive our elected officials. Forgive them? Not a chance. But it's not just our home and our work. Even the Christian congregation is not immune. We're supposed to be this idyllic community of holy people, right? And yet here we are, offending one another, at times holding secret grudges, other times just outright sinning against one another. The pastor says stupid things that needlessly offend. Members refuse to speak to one another after some intentional or even just ignorant slight. And it gets worse. Quite a few will stay away from the congregation, have left the congregation, rather than forgive. Maybe it was a word that was poorly said to them, or their volunteer work was not noticed, or some kind of personality clash between they and the pastor or a member or school teacher. It's really easy to make it right, isn't it? To be restored, it's just those few short words. I forgive you. Easy. Well, maybe Jesus was onto something after all. We suffer from a different sort of paralysis. Our marriages, our communities, even our church, is often paralyzed with an inability to forgive. We are held captive by our pride. We can't say those words because it would be humiliating. We tell ourselves that we shouldn't forgive because that would be a judgment against our neighbor. What's to forgive, right? Unless wrong has been done. But of course, there's another side to the forgiveness coin that might explain our reluctance to forgive. We're taught from the youngest age to not forgive until we've heard the proper confession. Say to your brother, you're sorry. Say to your sister, I forgive you. We want to hear someone who sinned against us say, I'm sorry. And even to prove it to us by making amends, by a hug or a kiss if you're a child, or even worse, as an adult. It's because we secretly want them to suffer a little bit before they receive the healing that only our word of forgiveness can truly bring. You see, Jesus, again, is on to something. It's truth that none of us are capable of forgiving. The old man is not capable of forgiving. And this is especially true when we've been sinned against, when we suffer under the shame of what has been done to us. In those times, we want vindication. We want revenge. We want payback. We'd rather get even than get reconciled. Now, we deserve it after all, right? How humiliating it is to forgive someone who doesn't even think that they've done wrong to us. That's like pouring salt onto an open wound that they caused us. How could that possibly be good for us to do? Notice how the scribes in Jesus' home of Capernaum responded to his simple declaration. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. At those words, they said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. He's speaking against God. These Bible scholars claim that only God can forgive sins, and only then rarely. Their tradition has taken old Hammurabi's code of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth to mean that justice must always rule the day. And we have two. Your world, your relationships, even your congregation is broken by this inability to forgive. You're broken by your continued sin. All the resentment, the grudges, the offenses, the flippant words, and the backbiting have effectively broken your backs, paralyzing you to suffer with your sin and under the sin of others. You can't get up but are left on your beds, like those scribes, to hate, to curse, to never let your son, to let your son go down on your anger. And you have your excuses. You say the wounds are too deep, but really your heart is too black, and you lack the strength to do anything. Earlier in St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had talked about this desire for revenge and vengeance. He said, you have heard that it is said in days of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then he repeats, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Completely backwards, upside down. We want vengeance, and the Lord says it is his. The justice and vengeance for evil and wickedness committed against you by your enemies, by even your friends, or your husband or wife, all of this was taken into Jesus, into his body. He suffered the other cheek. He prayed for those who persecuted him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He suffered the pain and anguish deserved for your sin. He was flogged for your neighbor's trespasses against you. He was beaten for your enemy's treachery. He was killed for every unjust act that was ever committed against you. Again, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And he took vengeance into himself. He exacted the punishment you and your neighbor deserves by placing it upon his son. Jesus is the Lamb of God, just like the lambs of old, that takes away the sin of the world. And this is how he takes it away. He takes it away by suffering it and dying it under it. Therefore, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's surprising. There is no more condemnation. God's good and gracious favor seen to us in the suffering and death of Christ. Now that's a surprise. That he would forgive us and forgive your enemy without any merit or worthiness. Doing it not because of who you are or who they are, but rather because of who he is. Because of his unchanging love and mercy. And that changes your heart. Having been forgiven by Christ, you also believe that your neighbor has that same forgiveness. See, Jesus was made man and came into this broken world, into your broken life, your broken home or marriage, even into this broken congregation with the authority to heal your debilitating disease. He did what you cannot do for one another. While you were yet sinners, paralyzed, bound, captive to sin, Jesus died for you. Your Savior Jesus forgave you even before you confessed a word of your sin to him. He forgave you before you were even sorry. He forgave you even when you secretly hated him and wanted nothing to do with him. Now that's different. Jesus has brought about a radical new way for you to live together. Rather than being concerned about justice and vengeance that you want, you believe that all the vengeance and justice that your sin deserves was received by Jesus on the cross. He covered the debts owed for sin, for the sin of the whole world. And that includes, then, those who have sinned against you. Rather than hate the offender, you were given by Jesus to love them, and to love them by forgiving them. Because you believe that Jesus Christ died for them as much as he died for you. And whether they want it or not, Christ has forgiven them. So ask the question again, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Well, the truth is that apart from Jesus, both are impossible. Neither is easy. But since we are in Christ, his church and his pastors are given to preach repentance in his name. He gives such authority to men to declare your forgiveness freely through Christ's shed blood. And then in that forgiveness, he works in us new and clean hearts to forgive one another also in his name. For all this, we give thanks to Jesus in his name. Amen.